If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2A Radio right here on RBN. Thank you very much to RJ Hinder, previous host on the last show. Thank you for sending your audience off to us right here on 2A Radio. Guys, on 2A Radio, and I'm going to explain this because we have a lot of new listeners that are coming in all the time. 2A Radio stands all for Second Amendment Radio. 2A Second Amendment. 2aradio.com is the website. It's not two-way radio. It's 2A, as in Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address to send me comments about the show or anything else is bill@2aradio.com. Now, if you're going to send me a personal message directed to me directly from you, that's great. Any forwards you feel like sending, do me a favor, send them to somebody else, because I get them from several other email addresses all the time. Please do not send me forwards. Please do not put Bill at 2A Radio on a whole list of different people you're emailing stuff to, because then all I get is a whole bunch of garbage that people end up sending to me along down the line. And it is a mess. I have a lot of email that I have to go through, and that just makes it that much worse. So, Bill at 2A Radio, if you want to have a personal communication back and forth, that's great. What do we talk about here on the show? We talk about guns, gear, we talk about the right to carry, we talk about open carry, concealed carry, we talk about open carry movements, we talk about where politicians want to curb our open carry rights, where they want to curb our concealed carry rights, and also in areas of the country where they want to expand those rights and make it much less restrictive to carry your guns for personal protection. Guys, in the economy of today, police departments, sheriff's departments are laying off people left and right because they can't afford to pay them. The money's just not there. Revenues, tax revenues, all kinds of revenues are down. So that means two things. There are less cops on the street, and it's driven more people into crime. Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters, guys. It's going to be Mr. Glock. It's going to be Mr. Browning when you pull your 1911. Whoever it is, it's going to be the manufacturer of the gun that you're carrying. We also talk about sporting uses of guns, but mainly it's a defensive-natured show where we go into different news articles. There's commentary. There's certainly my opinion. And then there's call-in. If at any time you feel as though you would like to call into the show, the number here is 800-313-9443. And a lot of people listen to the archives. The archives are available on the website, 2aradio.com. And then you can go on there, you can listen to the archives. The archives are commercial-free. It gets right down to the nitty-gritty. And they're always up within about a half an hour, maybe even 20 minutes, of the show being completed for the day. So I just wanted to give you all of that background. So coming up in the rest of the show, you're going to get news, commentary, certainly my opinion on some of the things going on around the country at state and federal levels, and really see what's going on out there. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to me right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. And welcome back from the break. Good morning, everyone. By the way, I just want to let you know, I spent a good amount of time this weekend working on this big shooting project I really can't let out of the bag yet. A lot of time over the weekend working on that. Lots of good things coming down. I can hardly wait. I'm chomping at the bit to be able to announce this whole thing, but I can't just yet, and you'll know why when the announcement does come. It's kind of like the idea of I couldn't really say what I was doing back in February and March, why I was absent so much or broadcasting from L.A. I couldn't say anything about it until it was announced, and now that is culminating in I am one of the featured contestants on Top Shot, a new series, which is a shooting-based reality show on History Channel, beginning this coming Sunday, which would be June 7th. Is that right? 7th? Or is it the 6th? It must be the 6th. Coming up this Sunday. Let me actually check my calendar. It looks like it's going to be the 6th. Sunday the 6th. 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time. So set your DVRs to your TiVos or just plain sit there and watch it. This will be the very first episode of Top Shot. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. It'll be interesting to see how they actually cut this thing and how everyone were portrayed. And I understand that the filming of it was done with a lot of really, really high-end cameras. Of course, I can't tell one camera from the next. I don't know what sort of movie magic Hollywood does. I have never been involved in any sort of a production of this magnitude. So it'll be very cool. It is a competition-based shooting reality show. So it should be pretty cool. The host of the show is some guy by the name of Colby Donaldson. I have absolutely no idea who the hell Colby Donaldson is. Quite honestly, I don't. But I understand he's was the biggest star in history of any reality show. I guess he's been on Survivor on three different occasions, something like second or third episode. I guess he was a finalist, didn't quite finish. I think he finished second. And then I guess he's on a couple of special editions of the show. And I found all of this out by actually hearing the interviews he's on and doing a Google search later, but I had no idea who the hell this guy was. Quite honestly, it's funny. We were actually hoping that we could get some real just crazy, just out-of-the-woodworks type of a host. And before the group of us, before we met Colby Donaldson, we were actually kind of hoping it might have been somebody just absolutely messed up in the head like Gary Busey. We just thought Gary Busey would be freaking hilarious, just absolutely out of his mind. Anyhow, that's going to start next weekend. Of course, this past weekend was all Memorial Day. I did spend a few hours at the range yesterday with a fellow that's an acquaintance of mine doing some handgun training, getting him tuned up. And it was interesting because in 1 hour on the range, now this guy has a lot of experience. He's taken a lot of classes, done a lot of shooting. And in 1 hour on the range, he had polished himself to the point where he didn't know he could be, at least certainly not in that short amount of time. It's nice to be able to take somebody who's got some very good foundational skills, good principled skills, and be able to improve every little one of them to where they're shooting faster and more accurately. We did a little shooting on the move. We were out there for about 3 hours or so and went through a lot of ammo, had some fantastic hits. As a matter of fact, I was doing the math, and his hit ratio, even on the move, was somewhere around 96%. There was only one shot out of 25 that was not in the target areas. On the target. Every round was actually on the target. Every round he fired of probably 300 rounds, 350 rounds in 3 hours, every single round was on meat. And 24 out of 25 was in the actual zone that you really want to hit. So we had a good time. It was a lot of really good training. Just one of my passions. I love doing that. And it was great to see this guy do this. He has a wife and 5 kids. He has a vested interest in being able to protect himself and his family. So to actually run through the paces on a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, It really felt good to be out there with the type of guy that should be out there. You know, I mean, he has a vested interest in being able to provide defense for himself and his family. And, that's exactly the sort of motivational factor I have in even being in the industry. When it comes to this whole Memorial Day thing, this is a story that came out, Friday. It says Wisconsin veteran must last remove flag after Memorial Day, according to his wife. So today, this flag is supposed to be down. Listen to this. An Army veteran in Wisconsin will be allowed to display an American flag until Memorial Day, but the symbol honoring his service in Iraq and Kosovo must come down today, his wife told FoxNews.com. Don Price, 27, of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, said she received a call from officials at Midwest Realty Management earlier last week, middle of last week, early Wednesday, indicating that she and her husband, Charlie, would be allowed to continue flying the American flag they've had in their window for months through the holiday weekend. The couple had previously been told that they had to remove the flag by Saturday or face eviction due to a company policy that bans the display of flags, banners, and political or religious materials. Wow. It's basically an extension so we can fly the flag on Memorial Day, Price told FoxNews.com. It does not come down. Let's see. It does need to come down after that. Charlie Price, 28, served tours of duty as a combat engineer in Iraq and Kosovo, his wife said. To honor his 8 years of service, she began decorating their apartment during Veterans Day in November. An American flag topped off the display, she said. I knew it made Charlie really proud to see that, and this isn't something new. It has been up there for quite some time now. Veterans groups were furious at Realtors' refusal to allow the flag to fly. As a veteran, it sickens me that Don and Charlie Price's building management company would imply that the American flag could be construed as offensive by their residents, said Ryan Gallucci, a spokesman for AmVets. We're talking about our most revered national symbol. This is insulting to anyone who has defended our flag honorably, like Charlie Price. Don Price said she now works to amend the Federal Freedom to Display the American Flag Act of 2005, which states, no condominium association, cooperative association, or residential real estate management association may stop someone from flying the American flag. The law, however, does not apply to renters. However, residential real estate management association, I believe, would indicate that. Essentially, what they're doing is they're saying, if you rent an apartment from us, we can control your First Amendment right to freedom of speech. Nobody can do that. That is an inalienable right, and no property management company can step in and jack it from you. She says, this has been eating at us since Friday. She said, the best way to fight this isn't getting an eviction and going after these people in court. It's just going to cost us a lot of time, energy, and money. Instead, Don Price said, she either intends to place a curtain between the flag and the apartment window to block it from onlookers who will move it, or will move it to a rear balcony come next week. We don't want to fight the eviction, she said. We know we'd lose. Wow. Well, now there's a defeatist attitude from the wife of an American soldier that I don't quite get. Officials at Midwest Realty Management, which manages Brookside Apartments, where the Prices live, did not return several messages seeking comment. Imagine that. In a statement to the Oshkosh Northwestern, company officials said their policy was established to provide a consistent living environment for all residents. This policy was developed to ensure that we are fair to everyone, as we have many residents from diverse backgrounds, the statement read. By having a blanket policy of neutrality, we have found that we are less likely to offend anyone, and the aesthetic qualities of our apartment communities are maintained. Wow. Don't allow anybody to do anything, so everybody's on an even plane. That's the mentality. Take your ball and go home. Despite the brief response, Don Price said her husband is disappointed by the flag flap. He actually sees it as a slap in the face of his service, she said. He's pretty upset about it, especially right around Memorial Day. Now, a Facebook group created by Don Price, Freedom to Display the American Flag. Remember that. Go on there and check it out. Freedom to Display the American Flag had roughly 2,000 members as of last Wednesday. Last night, I checked it, and it was up to 66,000. So go on to Facebook, type in the little search thing, Freedom to Display the American Flag, and join up. This is really cool. As a father of a son who is currently serving in Iraq, this blackens my heart, read one comment. These men and women sign a blank check up to and including their life. On Memorial Day weekend, this has to come down. Midwest Realty Management of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Burn in hell. You SOBs. You really believe you have the authority to rent an apartment to someone and subvert their First Amendment rights? Do you think you could also subvert their Second Amendment rights so you're not allowed to keep a gun on any of our properties? Could you do that? The answer is no. So what in the world makes you think you have any sort of legal authority to subvert an unalienable right? I don't think so. I would just show you the Constitution and then tell you to go pound sand. Stay tuned, folks. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, and you're listening right here at 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, folks, welcome back. Out of the city of New York, you may remember a fellow by the name of Sean Bell, who was killed by off-duty NYPD detectives in a nightclub while celebrating his bachelor party. Well, cops are now livid over a legislative proposal that could really handcuff officers involved in life and death confrontations, requiring them to shoot gun-wielding suspects in the arm or leg rather than shoot to kill, according to what the New York Post has learned. The minimum force bill, which surfaced in the assembly about a week ago, seeks to amend the state's penal code's justification clause that allows an officer the opportunity to kill a thug if the officer feels that their life or the life of someone else is in imminent danger. The bill, drafted in the wake of Sean Bell's controversial police shooting death, would force officers to use their weapons, quote, with the intent to stop rather than kill, end quote, a suspect. They would be mandated to shoot a suspect in the arm or leg. Can you believe this? Under present NYPD training, cops are taught to shoot at the center of their target and fire their weapon until the threat has been stopped. These are split-second, spontaneous events. And officers have to make a full assessment in a fraction of a second, said an angry Michael Palladino, president of the Detectives Endowment Association. It's not realistic, and it exists only in cartoons. Quite true. It's moronic and would create two sets of rules on the street if there's a gunfight. This legislation would require officers to literally shoot the gun out of someone's hand, or shoot to wound them in the arm or leg. I don't know of any criminal who doesn't shoot to kill. They are not bound by any restrictions. The legislators have their heads buried in the sand, and we would not be able to fully protect the public or ourselves. In fact, NYPD officers and detectives hit their target roughly only 17% of the time because of the incredibly stressful circumstances surrounding a shooting, which is the national average. Palladino, whose association represents 5,100 investigators, said he showed the bill last week to Vice President Joe Biden, who scoffed and suggested it would be dubbed the John Wayne Bill because it demands sharpshooting skills of the kind only seen in movies. Sponsored by Brooklyn Assembly members Annette Robinson, Democrat out of Bedford something-something, Stuyvesant, whatever that is, and Daryl Towns, a Democrat out of East New York, the bill came up at the Assembly Codes Committee, but was held for further consideration rather than kill it or put it to vote before the Assembly. Of course, those folks did not immediately comment. The proposal, section of Assembly Bill A02952, a police officer or peace officer who uses such force with the intent to stop rather than kill and uses only the minimal amount of force necessary to effect such stop. Now that's the proposal. The current law on the books, a person may not use deadly physical force upon another person unless he or she is a police officer or peace officer or a person assisting a police officer or peace officer at the latter's direction. Which is a garbage law to begin with. Only cops are allowed to use deadly physical force upon another person when protecting, obviously, themselves and everyone else. So somehow they have more power and authority than a citizen, and the citizen has rights. So that I actually see that particular part of the penal code. That is New York Penal Code S3515, paragraph 2, section A, line 2, something like that. 3515. This is totally stupid. This is obviously people haven't got the slightest clue what the hell it is that guns are used for. Here's the idea. The reason you shoot at the center of your target area, the center of mass, so to speak, really it's a little higher than that. It's in the chest is where you really want to go, is because that part of the body is biggest and has the least amount of movement involved in it. Arms can move very rapidly, plus they're thin. Legs can move very rapidly, and they're thin. A head can bob and weave. Just watch any boxer or fighter or martial artist, and that area is small as well. The center core of the body doesn't move nearly as quick as anything else, plus it's much bigger. And it's got the vital organs in it, the heart, the lungs, major blood vessels. That is why you shoot towards to the body. That is the default shot area. If you think you can shoot somebody in the hand or the leg, imagine somebody is shooting at a cop, you shoot him in the leg. The leg is not connected to the trigger finger, people. And if they fall over, they're now in kind of a rollover prone position, smaller target, more stable, probably, quite honestly, rather pissed off that you just shot him, and much more lethal in a lot of situations. It's not a bang, you're dead, or bang, it's over. Oh, shot him in the arm, it's over. Yeah, first round of land wins the gunfight. That's what they're thinking. Totally stupid. Absolutely morons. That's why you don't want to have the left in office, because they don't have the ability to think rationally. It's a mental condition that cannot be overcome. It's like stupidity. Stupidity can't be fixed. Only ignorance can. Stay tuned. More to come after the break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Hey guys, welcome back. So, what we're going to talk about now is another First Amendment, really blockade. A judge in Wyoming blocks a newspaper story involving a college president's trip to Costa Rica. Can you believe this? The Wyoming judge, in a rare move, blocked two newspapers from publishing stories on an internal report about a college president's trip to Costa Rica, saying that the report was improperly taken and that releasing details could prompt the federal government to cut college grant money. This came out of District Judge Peter Arnold just Friday, who ordered the Wyoming Tribune Eagle newspaper, I guess it was a week ago Friday, and a local biweekly paper, the Cheyenne Herald, not to disseminate information about the report for at least 10 days. Now, according to the Tribune Eagle, the report concerns a school-sponsored trip taken by Laramie County Community College President Daryl Hammond to Costa Rica in 2008. He served as a student chaperone on the trip. Okay. Cheyenne lawyers Henry F. Bailey and Lance T. Harmon, representing the college, asked Arnold on Friday to block the newspaper from publishing information about the report. The lawyers argued that the report was taken improperly by whoever gave it to the newspapers, and that the college stands to lose federal grant money if the report is released because it contains personal student information. Wow. Freedom of the press, huh? Not anymore. The college maintains that releasing the report would violate the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. Okay, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, which is a law. Okay, it's a law protecting family educational rights. However, the unalienable right of freedom of the press has been subverted in favor of this one. It says it could lose federal funds if it violates provisions of the law requiring schools that receive federal funds to keep certain student records confidential. The Tribune Eagle has asked Arnold to dissolve the order. Arnold's office said Monday the judge had no comment. That was a week ago yesterday. Tribune Eagle executive editor D. Reed Eckert and Bruce Motz, lawyers for the newspaper, both said Monday that it's extraordinary for judge to prohibit the media from publishing material in advance. Eckert and Motz said the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled such prior restraint is unconstitutional in all but the most extreme cases, such as situations involving immediate threats to national security. They noted the landmark U.S. Supreme Court case, in which it ruled the Nixon administration could not block the New York Times from publishing the Pentagon Papers, a secret government study of the war in Vietnam. If we're going to argue that the Pentagon Papers should be allowed to be published, then I'm unclear how a document of this nature, which basically is a report about a president's performance at a community college in Wyoming, is even sensible, according to Eckert. Motz said a group of college employees called a care team wrote the report. He said such teams are created to look into student health issues. An anonymous person dropped a copy of the report at the Wyoming Tribune Eagle's office on Thursday, according to Eckert. He said the college asked Arnold for a restraining order after the newspaper asked the college officials for comment on the report. The Cheyenne Herald states on its website that it had posted portions of the report online but took it down after Arnold entered his order. An attempt to reach Herald publisher Dave Featherly was not immediately successful. Harmon, the college president, on Monday, referred questions to the college's lawyers, of course, sandbagging. He declined to comment on whether the report was critical of his performance on the Costa Rica trip. At the request for a restraining order against the newspaper, Bailey and Harmington argued that the community college report is unlike Pentagon Papers because the report doesn't contain information of great public concern. Rather, they say, it documents a portion of a life of a troubled young student. The Wyoming Press Association issued a statement Monday denouncing Judge Arnold's order as a dangerous and unacceptable breach of the First Amendment. And, of course, the Associated Press is also an associate member of that group. Kelly McBride, the ethics group leader at the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida, said most prior restraint cases involve claims by law enforcement that publishing a story would hurt an ongoing investigation. She said she was blown away to hear of Arnold's order in the Wyoming case. They are almost always vacated by an appeals court almost immediately, McBride said of the such court orders. Prior restraint is pretty well established as a no-no given our constitutional law. Well, true. It is unfathomable to me that a judge would give such an order. Now, guys, the reason I read this, this has really nothing to do with Second Amendment rights. What it has to do with your is your rights being beaten up and subverted by those who have the ability to do that with the drop of a gavel. This is a type of thing we can't stand for. We just simply cannot stand for. Now, listen to this. This is really going to give everybody a warm and fuzzy. So, snuggle up to your radio, hop into your Snuggie, grab your warm cup of tea, and listen to this. The title is that there's no consequences for government employees who charged massive shopping sprees on their government credit cards, essentially to the taxpayers. 21 employees of the Federal Protective Service. Now, this is a very small organization. This is not everybody who works for the government. This is the small Federal Protective Service. Spent more than $100,000 in government funds for things such as clothing, flat screen TVs, gym memberships, and tuition payments, according to the General Services Administration Inspector General. But no one has even faced disciplinary action. Most employees caught stealing from a company would expect to be fired, forced to return what they took, and generally even prosecuted by the law. But a group of government employees accused of going on a massive shopping spree with taxpayer money have yet to face any disciplinary action at all. During an 18-month period, while the Federal Protective Service was moved from the General Services Administration to the Department of Homeland Security, employees spent thousands of government dollars on everything from clothing and flat-screen TVs to gym memberships and tuition payments, according to the GSA. But two referrals to federal prosecutors have resulted in no criminal charges in the case. This is according to the Washington Times report last Monday. Investigators said the 21 employees hid more than $100,000 worth of unauthorized purchases with government credit cards in 2003 and 2004 by not logging them in the computer system that processes the agency's financial transactions. After the findings of the five-year investigation into the matter were revealed in September. Now, five-year investigation. Now, it was $100,000 worth of stuff. How much do you think that investigation costs? Probably many, many times more than that. After the findings of the five-year investigation in the matter were revealed in September, three employees resigned, four retired, and five employees faced possible reprimand. No action was taken against nine others. The abuse of government charge cards is hardly a new problem. A March 2008 report issued by the Government Accountability Office estimated that nearly 41% of purchase card transactions made from July 1st, 2005 through June 30th, 2006, 1 year, failed to meet basic internal control standards. 41%. One cardholder embezzled more than $642,000 over 6 years from the Department of Agriculture's Forest Service Firefighting Fund for personal expenditures such as gambling, car and mortgage payments, as well as others, but wasn't caught until a whistleblower turned her in, according to the GAO. That cardholder was sentenced to 21 months in prison in order to pay restitution of more than $642,000. In addition, the report says agencies were unable to locate 458 of the 1,058 expended items the GAO has selected for testing, totaling over $1.8 million in missing goods like computer servers, laptop computers, iPods, and digital cameras. Let me ask you this. I can see a computer server, a laptop, and a digital camera being necessary for certain government functions. What in the world does any government employee on the clock need with an iPod? I don't get it. What do they need to listen to some sort of speech given somewhere, or I don't know, maybe? iPods, come on, guys. Leslie Page, a spokeswoman for the nonpartisan Citizens Against Government Waste, says more needs to be done to stop this kind of abuse. Wow, you think? According to the reports, the FBS workers have been had absolutely no consequences. And by consequences, I mean punitive, but also restitution. I don't know why Congress is not moving to force them to claw the money back. There should be a claw back measure for sure when people have transgressed in this kind of way, whether it raises to the level of criminal prosecution or not. Now, I have to cut in here for a moment. When I was a contractor for the federal government with the Department of Defense, we had American Express. And here's the thing. To keep the contractor from dealing with excessive American Express charges, it was a your card, but issued to you from American Express, however, connected with the company. So the company could see everything that was getting charged. Here's the deal. Every single purchase on this individual corporate American Express, I guess it was, had to be approved. Then you submit the approval. And then what happens is they cut a check to you for that payment to the American Express card. That's the way it works. You are personally responsible for making sure that bill got paid. And they would cut the check to American Express and hand it to you so you could send it in. Anything that was unapproved, you had to pay for. And if you continued to do that thing, if you continued to pay for stuff that, you know, use it as a personal credit card, the company, since their name was also involved with it, could revoke it. Very powerful way of doing things. You are personally responsible for having to pay this bill because you're the only one that can charge on it. However, with our company name on there, we also reserve the option for getting a hold of American Express and having them cancel it. And if you want to charge something that is not business related on there, well, we're not paying for that. We'll pay the portion that we're responsible for, the stuff that's approved, that you either had prior approval for or that you were authorized to do. Very powerful way of keeping it in line. Imagine how many government employees would have to file bankruptcy if they were doing the same sort of thing. I saw military members that for some reason or another were issued a government credit card because of whatever it was that they did, some sort of administrative level thing. They were charging all kinds of stuff on their own because they had such horrible personal credit, they didn't know what to do with this newfound plastic wonder. And they charged all kinds of their own stuff on there. Before many, many, many months down the road or years of abuse, the government would finally cut it off. But the government was paying the bills. Unreal. Now, Page said since the last GAO report on this issue, there's been an explosion in the number of government purchased cards with 300,000 federal employees currently carrying them. And by turning a blind eye when they're abused, she said the government is inviting more of this behavior. If the worst you get is not even a slap on the wrist, you're not made to pay the money back, you don't have your name published, you don't get drummed out of your job, if there's no consequences for this behavior, you're going to see more of it and more often, according to Page. The Department of Homeland Security declined to comment over the phone and has not yet responded to emails looking for comment regarding this issue. You're probably not going to get much. You're probably just not going to get much. The abuses in government are unreal. Now, when I was a contractor, I was under the impression that probably, I don't know, 40% of all the funds that the government had were just fraud, waste, and abuse. They probably wasted 40 cents out of every dollar, only used 60 cents. And I was sorely mistaken. I was really very pessimistic before I got into that line of work. And I realized I was really pretty far off. It wasn't 60-40. It was 40-60. From what I saw, my estimates were 40% of the money was actually being used for what it should be used for. 60% was fraud, waste, and abuse. Most of it in waste. In the private sector, what would take me an hour to get accomplished, if there was an issue that came up, and I'm managing a company, it would take me an hour to work through getting this problem solved. When working for the government, it took a week. An entire week for what takes 1 hour in the private sector. So I would be getting paid 40 hours for 1 hour's worth of work. Imagine that. Fraud, waste, and abuse. And it's because that's the way the job was lined up to be handled. Amazing. Stay tuned. After the break, we're going to talk about a buttload of shootings in Baltimore over the weekend. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Out of Baltimore, police are investigating a series of shootings that left 7 people dead and 3 more injured over a very violent Memorial Day weekend. Police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi says there have been 10 shootings since Friday. In 2 of the fatal shootings, police have identified persons of interest. Charges are pending against 1. Guglielmi says the department is responding with extra patrols, special deployments of plainclothes officers, and additional homicide detectives. He says most of the shootings appear to be related to drug activity, while one of them appeared to be a domestic dispute. Well, so 10 people are shot. 1 person is being charged in 1 death. And 7 of those 10 are dead. Well, and the cops are responding. How are you guys going to do anything? How are you going to do a thing? The people are the ones that need to be armed. And here's the thing. I have to tell you, really, the big disappointment in this deal is this. A lot of people who have the ability to be armed, there's no law suppressing their unalienable right in their particular area. They don't have to go to court to try and fight some sort of a law. They just don't. They don't feel the necessity to do it. Okay. You know, like, the little town that I live in is not a very violent little town. There are spurts of violence. And generally, those spurts of violence happen in, you know, a couple different little areas of town. But that's not always the way it is. You know, we had the cop that was shot and killed by a guy at one of the casinos in town. And the last time a cop had been shot in town, it had been over at the same casino, which has one of the nicest RV parks in the entire country. It's always within the top 10. I mean, it's a beautiful area. You wouldn't expect people over there to be shooting at cops, but well, they do. You know, and it's interesting too, because it says it appears to be related to drug activity. Here's the interesting thing. There's all kinds of new synthetic versions of drugs out there that have come on the market in the last probably 6 months, it's new, that simulate the actual drug, but they're legal because they're made with synthetic based things and lots of, I guess, vitamins and minerals and different amino acids that are all packed together in different things. There's synthetic marijuana. There's synthetic cocaine. There's synthetic ecstasy. All of this stuff, which is legal to own, legal to possess, legal to use, is clean on a drug test and costs about the same. Wow. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.